Are you looking for a champion's insight from a fan's perspective into the world of sports and entertainment?
Then check out In the Key with me, NBA champion BJ Armstrong.
And me, sports analyst Gerald Brown.
Right here on Podcast One. We know the business, and each week we'll chat with celebrity guests and provide an informed discourse on the cultural beats of the moment.
Download new episodes of In the Key every Thursday on PodcastOneSports.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The truth, we got a mandate to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Drew?
Yeah, got to get it on, man.
What you doing, man? Matt and I were talking about what a puss you are earlier today.
Yeah. And?
Well, I just said chick, but.
Well, Matt said puss, right?
He gave a knowing nod. He's too respectful to really pile on, but he gave a knowing nod.
What was the pussy?
Just your wiring, just your chick-like wiring. You know, that
thing. I'm sensitive, man.
You're sensitive, chick-like wiring.
Oh, my God. Speaking of sensitive, our dog took a direct hit in the face from a skunk last night.
Really?
Oh.
When you say direct hit, what do you think the distance was?
It's oils and greasy goo all over his face.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's probably like a foot or two maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, and he comes in like he's disoriented.
Right.
And it's the craziest smell. It's like tear gas. It's like you stop smelling it after a while, but you know you're smelling something strange and overwhelming, but it's like disorienting. It's the strangest thing.
Mm.
Wow, it was weird.
Is that Rex?
Yeah, Rex just got
blasted. What'd he do? How do you get it out of there? Because, you know, it's weird because if you take a direct hit and somehow you get it in, you know, the side or the chest or something, you can really go at it with some Bonami or something, you know. But when it's your eyes and snout, it's kind of tough to go at it with the lacquer thinner.
We had an older shepherd. He took 15 years ago, got hit in the face. And the first thing that shepherd did was ran upstairs and started rolling in our bed.
Right.
And it went through the sheets,
through
the mattress. Mm. We had to get rid of the mattress. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, the chemistry of this thing.
You know, it's weird. I never thought about this, but when it comes to nature and God's creatures, they're creatures that defend themselves against harm by using camouflage, you know, it's a stick insect.
Yeah.
Looks like it blends in with nature, you know.
Yeah,
and they're obviously chameleons and things like that. There's the ones that blend in, you know. Then there's the ones that are very fast. They're the ones that climb trees and get the higher ground up there. And then there's the squids that shoot ink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there're the lizards whose tails break off. And then there's tortoises who go into their shell and have a protective shell. It's a weird thing because kind of, you know, as human beings, you know, when it comes to the military, it's like, well, we build a bunker. You know what I mean? Like, we build a shell, the protective shell about us. But we don't have – we try to camouflage things as best we can and things like that. But what I'm saying is, like, they have – in nature, you'd think they'd kind of pick a path. Like, in order to protect
– I mean, all nature would have the similar path?
Well, it's weird that this one shoots funk out of its ass, you know, out of its glands.
The other is a hard shell around.
And the other one's a bunker, and this other one shoots out stink gas. And then others are like, oh, no, I'm a frog, and if you lick me, you'll die. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it?
It's pretty incredible that everything from – there couldn't be something more benign and passive than, oh, I'm a toad, but I look like a leaf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just blend in with the leaves.
Right.
So you just keep walking.
Right.
To the ones that shoot their tongue out, you know, to the ones that shoot you with poisonous gas.
Right.
To the venomous snakes that spray venom at you, you know, versus the ones that inject it. Some are just, I'm just a ball of poison, and if you eat me, you'll die.
Yeah. It's really crazy, isn't it, how nature works, how biology works?
It's how many modalities. You couldn't think of that many modalities. You'd think of, look, either we got to fortify where we're at, or we got to get some claws to go on the offense.
Or why don't we do all of the above? Why do we each of us have to have our own little thing? Right?
Yeah, you have a skunk living next to a porcupine.
Right.
But there's not really two porcupines. There's just porcupines. Like, no one goes, all right, I think we found a modality that works well for everyone here.
Stay with this one. We're firing quills.
No, that's just the one. It's weird that there's so many modalities for so many different beasts. Yeah. And it's not like when you say that Rex was squirted in the face with stink juice, I don't go, well, was it a possum or a sparrow or what was it? And you go, oh, it was a skunk. And I go, oh, yeah, I was going to get to that eventually. No, it's like it's only a skunk.
Yeah,
it's kind of freaky, right?
Yeah. And if you want to really blow your mind, I mean, it all evolves from like sea slugs. You know what I mean? It all evolves from bacteria or from single cell organisms.
Yeah, it's just amazing how many ways nature has devised to protect its creatures.
There's probably something in what you're thinking that tells us something maybe we haven't really figured out yet in terms of how things differentiate and follow different lines of evolutionary, finding different sort of niches. You know,
but the notion,
ecological niches.
The notion that I'm a lizard and if you grab me by the tail, it'll just break off is quite a cry from I look like a twig to I spray this noxious gas in your face.
And yet they all do the same thing, which is survival. They're all adapted for survival. But why that main adaptation is what you're asking.
Well, what I'm kind of saying is yes, survival. And then there's – so you go, okay, survival. Okay, squid doesn't want to be eaten, and neither does a puffer fish. But one of them puffs up and has spines shoot out from it, and the other shoots ink out of it. Yeah. Like, those seems like two very different modalities for not being eaten. And it just – why don't squids have the ability to puff up then too?
Yeah.
Or why don't puffer fish shoot – it's just so insane that it's all different. Man. You're lucky I'm not high right now, or I'd really be freaking
you
out.
You on mushrooms,
man.
Thinking about this.
Freak out.
Psilocybin, man. You would, you'd be watching the bee's wings vibrate the air.
Oh, I missed that. Freak out. All right. What else going through your mind?
I'm not quite done with the thinking you're doing, which is that, you know, that we divide up into these different evolutionary pathways, right? And the defense mechanisms that develop have something to do with the available biology of that organism.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have infinite availability for every given genetic endowment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of – and then they sort of add on and add on and add on. And then something catches that's good and it evolves into a bigger sort of component.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah, I'm just, when I really start drilling down on squid ink and puffer fish and poisonous frogs and stuff like that, there's so many different directions.
It's all the same.
And again, the funny one is like the tortoise, which travels in a fort.
Yeah. It's all the same phenomena, but it's phenomena built on different genetic potential.
Yeah, so it's all for the same purpose, right, which is protection.
Yeah.
But it's just
it's weird that it develops.
We invented an army helmet, and then we said, well, why don't we invent a tank, and then we'll have a bigger tank, and then we'll have a bunker.
Yeah,
you know. So, but it's all basically the same thing. Just put thick stuff around you, so stuff won't get to you.
Yeah,
but we didn't go a million different directions.
Right,
you know. So I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a question up there. Actually, I didn't find it interesting. You just made me think of that when you're talking about your dog getting sprayed.
Anyway,
how do you get the skunk smell out of Rex?
So literally, Douglas and I are like running down to the shower with him so before he rolls on something. You know what I mean? He's getting ready to like put.
Yeah, yeah. They right.
And Myos running behind me. Okay, I'm Googling skunk. baking soda and hydrogen peroxide, and she put a potion together and poured it on his face, and damn it, it worked. I mean, it really worked. And then we had to shampoo him like 12 times, and that was it. He had no smell this morning. I couldn't believe it.
Baking soda is one of those things, it's almost like duct tape, which is, it's used more for things that are non-baking than, like duct tape is used much more for anything but duct work. Yes?
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about something. Blinds Galore. Mm. Your home reflects your personality, and BlindsGalore.com believe you deserve built-in, custom quality blinds, shades that really bring out your style. And I want to say this loud and clear. There is no substitute for Blinds Galore. You need to go to – this is where you go when you get your blinds. Don't go to anybody else. New window coverings, fits perfectly, look like they belong in your home. They have the personal touch. They have the experts that will guide you start to finish. They are, whether it's online or over the phone, free samples, free shipping on top of the free expertise, and a watertight guarantee. And this is what I'm why I'm telling you, no one whatever else is out there, they are not Blinds Galore. Trust me. It's a watertight guarantee. If you don't love what you order for any reason, you exchange it. These guys stand by what they produce. And nobody else does that, and nobody puts the kind of personal care into the development of the blinds that these guys do. So no substitute. Blinds Galore is the one. Get a designer product without a designer price. It is blindsgalore.com. Do not screw around with anybody else.
Well, whether you need more privacy or to sleep in, or you want to insulate your windows, you just fix up a room. How about that? Go to Blinds Galore. Makes it easy. Blinds Galore. Visit blindsgalore.com today. Let them know I sent you. That's blindsgalore.com. All right. Got questions up there?
No, let's go to Les.
Let's talk to Les, 48 from Tampa. Les?
Hey, Dr. Drew, Adam, get it on. What's up, guys?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, got a quick question for Drew, really. My 10-year-old son, took him to the neurologist. He's on the spectrum. And he's got OCD really bad, and the neurologist wants to put him on Zoloft. And we haven't decided whether we're going to actually do it yet or not, my wife and I just have some concerns about any long-term effects from him being on that medication. And is it something he'd ever come off of? I don't want him to start medication at 10 and be on his whole life.
I would want a bunch more thinking before you just did this. It's not a horribly unreasonable thing your neurologist is talking about. But let me tell you how I would approach this. A, you need a child and adolescent psychiatrist to see him. So you want a psychiatrist who is board certified in child psychiatry to do an evaluation to make sure of the diagnosis, okay? Neurologist is okay for making that diagnosis, but you want a child psychiatrist to also agree, number one. Number two, there's an OCD society out there that is excellent. They are really good. There's a woman named Elizabeth McIngale. I did a podcast with her, Gary. Tell me what number that was. Elizabeth McIngale. And these guys are really, really impressive. I'm going to see if I may have actually a referral for you. Adam, talk to the gentleman.
All right. Drew's going to check his phone.
Yeah, I may have the actual referral for you.
Speaking of OCD, let me tell you about my OCD, Les. And maybe Drew has some insights on this. Working on some car-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go around to these car events like Goodwood and Monterey, Rolex Historics and things like that, it's populated with some of the most bitchin' 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, Porsche, Ferrari, whatever, the greatest stuff. The greatest stuff on the planet. The greatest stuff on the planet. But if you ever tell your editor guys like whack together like a cold open or whatever, and they do that montage of cars, they always get the chitty chitty bang bang cars in there, like the super skinny wheeled ones.
Yeah, I know.
And I always go in there and I go, we have Shelby Cobras, big badass fire breathing Cobras, and Ferrari GTOs. Why are you showing the ones with the wooden wheels? And they're like, you said you wanted a cars, you know. And I go, but does this car look powerful or fast or scary or loud or anything? And they go, no. And I go, then don't put it in the thing. And then I couldn't get them to do it. Like, they still couldn't, like, do it. And I just went, no cars with skinny tires. How about that? Yeah. How about that? I can't tell you.
Wooden wheels.
I can't tell you makes or models or anything. Just nothing that looks weak with skinny tires. Just Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just put the fattest, meanest, baddest, best looking cars on there. And we did some like sales deck thing today, and they put together whatever.
Today?
And like, it was a long story.
I swear to God, I've heard you give this lecture three times, and it came again today.
It's like it's so weird. But first off, I don't know why I'd ever even have to say it, but just don't do it. It drives me insane. It looks so weak. It drives me nuts when shows do this. It's so lazy. It's so weak and so everything. And I've yelled it a million times. And today was perfect.
All right, here we go. Here we go, Les. You ready?
Yeah.
It's the International OCD Foundation. Their website is IOCDF.org, the acronym for International OCD. And they have a Twitter handle, @IOCDF. I'm actually speaking for them in the summer. I'm going to give a talk for them in Washington.
We actually have her email address listed on your website if you
want
to read it off.
Yeah.
It's just Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
It's elizabeth@peaceofmind.com, spelled exactly how you'd think.
And she
was episode 251.
251. She herself is a recovering OCD patient, a hair-raising story. And just great. It's a great organization. It's a great society and lots of resources out there. So do not feel alone. Be very conscientious and systematic about this. And it's a medical thing. It has a medical treatment. That's all.
Hey.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. And I got to tell you, I'd be very hesitant to get my kid on medication unless it was last resort.
Well,
I'm with you.
Carefully thought out. Let's put it that way. Carefully thought out. Not without a lot of thinking and consultation and opinion, that kind of thing. And then who knows what else? OCD is a chronic thing. He's going to be dealing with this forever. You got to educate yourself. So now's the time. Okay.
Hey, Gary, your car guy. If you look for if you go to Adam Carolla goes to Goodwood or something, and you see the cold open, I'll show you. There's a thing. I don't know why it strikes me more than it strikes everywhere else, but there's a thing. I notice it a lot, and it'll drive me nuts. Like they'll go, if you don't watch these kind of shows, Drew. That's your problem.
Not really, no.
That's your problem. No. You watch these shows and they go.
There's a problem in life.
Yeah, in life.
Make me out no longer a pussy.
They go, we're at the El Toro International Air Show where some of the most decorated airplanes in the world have all gathered to meet. Let's check it out. And then they'll always do like a guitar lick and it's a montage.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they're doing the montage.
Yes.
But in the montage, it's like they'll show a crop duster, and you can see in the background it's like a MiG-21 right, fighter jet, right, but it's a little way in the background. You know, there's a crop duster, and then there'll be like a bone stock Cessna, you know, over here. But in the back, you see A-4 Phantom from Vietnam,
SR-51,
yeah, Blackbird. It's like over there, and they go now this one, and they show like a parasail or something, and you go, well, what are you doing?
Yeah,
and my thing is always like. Show the good stuff.
Yeah.
Show the good stuff. And then you know what someone will say? They'll go, hey, the guy's an editor. He's not a pilot. And it's like, all right. I can take a goddamn three-year-old with Down syndrome and show them a biplane from the 20s and show them an SR-71 and say, drool on the one that looks cooler. And they'll drool on the SR-71. Yes, so don't give me the, I'm not a pilot. Uh-huh. I don't know airplanes. You know what I mean? Like, what it is you don't give a fuck. That's what it is.
You don't give a fuck, and you don't know anything.
You don't know anything, but you don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just show, you know, it's like, we need a montage of airplanes. And so you show stupid planes that nobody cares about that are literally $10,000 where you have multi-million-dollar fighter aircraft in the back. And I know they're there because, like, later on in the show, you'll see one or whatever, you'll see it in the background. And it drives me nuts. So when I do a car show, I go, don't do the stupid montage where we show the dumb cars that nobody cares about that makes us look like idiots. I want to see cool hardware.
Do you know, was it the Nimitz, the aircraft carrier in New York City?
Yes.
Do you know the SR-71 hanging off the back of that? I mean, you can see it when you drive up.
Yes, I'm well aware of this.
Okay. And the other thing is, do you remember the movie, those Magnificent Men and their flying machines?
Mm-hmm.
Was that not sort of on the heels of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, right?
It
was
sort of the same. Yeah, I guess so.
So what is it about those stupid fucking period pieces that still, when everyone shows a montage, that's kind of what's in. They weren't even born, a lot of these people that edit this stuff, but somehow that cinematic idea of what a – you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
anything that's silly or fast moving, it's a
Thing is like, you want to see an old car?
Yeah.
I'll show you an old car. This has solid rubber wheels, wooden spokes, and is chain driven. And you're like, and it has a tiller for a steering wheel. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, that's cool, but we have some of the coolest. There's $50 million Ferrari GTOs here. Like, show that car. So when
that's
I
so
went
weird,
to, it's weird the first time. The fifth time, it's maddening.
Yeah.
Like where I have to just go in the room and go, look, if I see something with skinny tires and no livery, no paint job, just like, you know, it's just beige with skinny tires and you don't know what it is, then don't put it in.
It's so weird.
And the best part is everyone thinks I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
But you go to Goodwood and they have the coolest pieces in the world. As a matter of fact, it's weird, but your car now makes you a celebrity.
Yeah,
I realize.
That.
I just got a call from like Lord Goodwood, and he wants my Porsche there.
Yeah,
and he's like, "We'll fly it over there. We'll take it there. We'll put you up, and you come over and you drive it." Like they don't want me. They want my
sure.
They want my car.
Yeah, and they don't want the liability of somebody else driving it.
Oh, they don't care. Yeah. Something they get somebody to drive. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was asking Chris for some clarification. Are you looking for the episode one of Going Racing with Adam Carolla?
Yeah, the reason I say episode one is it does a weird little montage, and one of them is the crappiest little green skinny wheeled car in the world, and every time I see it, it drives me insane because I've yelled at those guys 1,000 times. I probably yelled at Max Zapata 1,000 times, too. Don't show the skinny little crap. Show the good stuff. So,
they don't know what you mean when you say show the good stuff. They just don't know what you mean.
I say no skinny tires.
Yeah,
no skinny. No skinny tires, and you can...
fire comes out of this thing. Shoots fire.
You can
I don't know what you're doing wrong.
You can be prepared to freeze
Adam
it when
you
I
know
when
me
I tell
as
you.
A podcaster,
you'll see the
comedian,
skinny car
TV
with
host,
the
author.
Skinny
but my
tires with the green car.
Life is cars. Vintage race cars and vintage racing.
So I decided to take a trip to jolly old England and attend the 2016 Goodwood Festival of Speed. You'll get to ride shotgun with me as I roll through the sights and sounds of vintage cars. And most importantly, I'm going to be racing my vintage Hull Newman Trans Am race car in the hill climb.
So far, so good.
So let's get to it. Goodwood is located in the English countryside.
I guess
about
this
2 hours
is the one they cut it out of after I yelled at them.
Oh.
The one I saw today was the old version, so it was gone.
They cut it out.
Goodwood's a pretty cool event, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Now that you're an international traveler.
I'm an international traveler. All right.
You and your car.
Mm-hmm.
What's it cost to transfer that thing over there, ship it, and insure it?
Well, if you have to ask, you probably can't afford Goodwood.
Let's maybe be clear. I cannot.
I was told that they ship them in shipping containers. They can fly them, but they ship them in shipping containers.
Okay, like the things that...
on a boat, a shipping boat. And...
Did it freak you out a little bit? I'm stacked up on a boat somewhere, your poor car.
It's pretty frequent stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the cars that are at Goodwood are shipped in from all over the world.
All right.
And then they tell you that, and they can fly them, but it's probably just more expensive and probably a little dicier to fly it. So they ship it by boat. I think it takes like, I can't remember. It's like, you know, 13 days or 17 days or something to get there by boat, but then, you know, customs and through the dock and all that crap. And then make its way on a truck, you know, to the track. And it's all very insane process if you kind of think about it. And then you end up in the English countryside, essentially, and you go up a dude's driveway.
Yeah.
That's Lord Goodwood, Lord Chichester, whatever. That's his driveway.
He called you.
His
people.
The guy runs the thing called and said they'd like to have the car. But you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And my thing, it's like, it's always weird because they're rich and I'm not rich. So I'm sort of like, you guys have drink coupons? Or like, I'm trying to cut a deal. Like, I want to know. Like, you know, their thing is rich guy talk. You know, yeah. We'd love to have you in the car. We'd love to see you in your car over at the track. And you're like, who's buying the plane tickets for me? Like, but you're talking to a rich guy, so you don't want to do the, you know what I mean?
No, thank you.
No thanks, says Drew.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
It's a language I don't speak.
No. No, Drew goes place to pick
definitely
up
definitely not a jerk, Mr. Chichester.
But let me say this.
Yeah.
There's a new thought, well, not a new thought, but a newish thought, that people hire publicists for their collection.
So you can make a business out of it?
Well, you think about it. You're going to sell your car in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have all these magazine covers and all these awards and all these pictures of you and this guy drove it here and you drove it there and it's on the cover of the whatever, whatever. Well, doesn't that...
Yeah, it creates a narrative, creates almost a mythology around the vehicle.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's what people are realizing that they're literally hiring publicists for their car collection, which is kind of a weird thing, but... Again, you're creating a story, and the story's driving the price up. I talked to Andy Granatelli's son. Yeah. And I said to him, like, you know, he Indianapolis 500 and built all those cars.
First turbo, right? First turbo Indy car?
Turbine.
Turbine, that's what it was.
And all that stuff.
Do you remember that car?
Yeah. And I talked to him all about it. And I said, like, what's that car worth? You know, and he said, like, I don't know, you know, $5 million or something. And I said, huh, because Dan Gurney's stuff is, you know, trades for $300,000, but not $5 million. And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, what's the difference between your car and his car? He's like, the story. His dad was like Andy Granatelli was like P.T. Barnum. Like he told the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the difference.
This is the STP car, right?
Yeah, there was like two of them, and they were like four-wheel drive. And
I'm surprised that's not one of the most expensive cars on Earth.
They are going up in value, and they are very expensive, but Indy cars aren't Ferraris or Aston Martin. They're not. There's Indy, and then there's Le Mans.
Maybe Indy will have a romance coming.
It's hard because Indy was sort of Indy.
It's the only place you can drive it.
Yeah, Le Mans cars ran all over Europe and Spa and Daytona and the 24 hours of Sebring hours of Sebring and 24 hours of Daytona. Then they ended up at Le Mans. They'd have these crazy histories by the time they got there. This is more just from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, $5 million, nothing to sneeze at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show a picture of that, Gary, if you can.
Drake, 29, from Los Angeles.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Hey, no.
Hey, so I've been dating this girl for about a year now, and above everything else, like, she's been the best girlfriend I've had as far as compatibility goes. We have a lot of common ground on a lot of things. We enjoy each other's company. We live with each other, but she's been traumatized by like some prior relationships with cheating and whatnot, and it does significantly eat into our relationship. And she's gone to therapy, and she's, you know, kind of taken the steps. But what I'm wondering is how permanent is this, or is this permanent? Will it eventually go away with therapy and, you know, with medication, or is it something that I have to just sort of expect?
First of all, I don't know what you got to describe what you're talking about. Number one, but number two, hard to predict those kinds of things, right? I mean, it sometimes they do go away, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You'd have to guess that there's a reason she picked these guys that traumatized her, you know what I mean? Why she was sort of reenacting some previous trauma, perhaps. That's why she got the PTSD. But what is she doing now?
So, like, if I go out for work, and, you know, I work in business, and I'll have meetings at night, like with dinner, and I come home and, you know, she asks me, how was your night and everything? And then she kind of jumps into this attack mode, like, who were you with? What were you doing? Like, and if there's ever a woman or a female business associate that's there, it, like, turns into, like, a big issue.
Every night?
And I've, like, 90% of the time. Like, it kind of eats into, like, my business life.
How old is she?
She's 30.
Yeah. I feel strongly about this.
Yeah.
It's not about accommodating that. It's about knock it off. And if they don't, then moving on. Like, that is a, when somebody is doing that, they're starting to spin a little bit.
And when they're spinning.
They're spinning. And when you go, no. She's a colleague. I can show you the spreadsheet we're working on. They start spinning faster. And when you go, look, honestly, check my phone. I didn't call her for you. And they start spinning faster. You have to stop the spinning. I've been yelling about this for a million years. Drew used to disagree with me. He probably agrees with me more now than he used to.
No, I do agree. No, I don't disagree with you. I've always agreed. I always told you it's hard to do.
It's easy. Just tell him to knock it off.
But this is almost a thought disorder.
Yes.
It's almost delusional. And so the fact, you know, she needs something called dialectical behavioral therapy. She does need medication. I'm going to bet that the guys she was with before were very unavailable, very, and they didn't traumatize her. They just did exactly what she set them up to do, which is not be available.
I feel like this going back, though. I mean, this got to be handled.
You want to ask that?
Okay. Want to see the picture of your Indy car?
Yeah.
Andy Granatelli's car?
Oh.
No, wrong car. Don't be an idiot, Drew.
That didn't have the thing in the front, the fans down in the front. Right.
It's my fault. Gary says it opened wheels at orange, and I was like, yeah.
It was red. It was red.
Well, it's like red and blue, but it's Andy Granatelli's
car. It's a long time
ago. It's a turbine
63
car,
or something.
Gary.
65. Way back.
Don't know what a turbine car is?
I know what it is, but I didn't know it was a turbine car. I wasn't aware of that.
The part where I corrected Drew when he said turbo, and I went turbine. Sorry. Adopted?
Yeah.
No, she was. Okay.
She was?
There. Oh, no. Oh, was she adopted? No, she was not.
Okay.
I mean, her parents split up, like, just months after she was born, and she didn't talk to her dad for, like, five years. She has a good relationship with her dad.
Yeah, all right. You got to stop from spinning. Gary, close.
I'd go to therapy with her just to...
SDP, Granatelli. We're looking for the car now. No.
There.
Would have been late 60s.
Isn't that it right there, though?
Nah. I mean, the turbine car, it's not quite the iconic STP car you're talking about. It has a squared-off front nose. It's probably from, like, 69.
Doesn't it have a
portable Now you're looking bulbous? At it. Yeah, you're basically looking at it.
Yeah.
And it's all-wheel drive.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy piece of technology. I'll tell you all about it off the air, Drew.
Right.
Let me tell you about True Car. Well, maybe you can pick up that turbine car. Yeah. You might know what MSRP stands for, but what does it really mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees, accessories, before getting into that dealership. You become an expert. You know, your true price is great because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car you want. Certified dealers set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, I don't know if there's, well, that's about it. It's new or it's used. It's always got to be True Car. I think, Kalen went with True Car, got himself a sporty Honda over here. So, new or used, True Car, enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, the Agora Theater, May 17th, that's Cleveland, Ohio. I'll be there. Come say hi. Royal Oak Music Theater, that's outside of Detroit. That'll be May 18th. And the Aladdin second show ad over there. That's June 9th. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Drew, what do you got there?
Go to Dr.com. Check out the family pods. Tomorrow, we've got a very, really cool podcast coming on the Dr. Drew podcast. I'm blanking on our guest name. Her name is
Andrea Granatelli?
No, she went
Ruthie
to
Lindsay.
Ruthie Lindsay. She has this amazing, amazing story. And if you are a pain patient, this is quite a story.
So, till next time. Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.